prayer. Father, we just want to say how much we love you and appreciate you. Thank you for once again for the opportunity, Lord, to come together with believers of like precious faith, Lord, and Lord, to bind our faith together, and Lord, our worship, and to be pleasing to thee that you would come among us. Lord, you administer to hearts and needs, Father. Lord, you know the enemy and his attack upon us, Lord. Lord, there may be many seem to be against us as far as the devil and all of his angels, but Lord, I know there's more for us than there's against us. Lord, we look to the hills which cometh our help, for our help cometh from the Lord. Lord, tonight we just commit this service to you and everything to be said for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's turn to Psalms 144. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. 144 and verse 1 says, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me." Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I'd like to speak to you this evening on the hand of faith. Amen. The hand of faith. Just studying on the word hand in the Bible for the last few days or so, I was found that the word hand occurs about 1,290 times in the King James Version Bible, and the plural form of hands occurs about 436 times. So I believe it tells us there's an importance to the hand. There's an importance to the human hand and God's hand. Amen. The hand, the extremity of the superior limb, has fingers which are used for pointing and feeling and touching and writing. Many things that we use our hands for. But God created us with two hands, one to help the other. And each hand has five fingers, which we know is the number of grace. But the hand is actually called the instrument of instruments. The hand is a symbol in the Bible of human action. We could read in 1 Timothy, he said, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands. Amen. In Psalms 9, in the work of his own hand, the wicked is snared. So hands represent human action. You know, but more than our hands, I want to think about God's hand tonight for a few moments. And I think about if we're in God's hands, why should we fear? The very one who created the universe, the very one that created the things that we see today, he is there to guide us with his hand through every tough situation. Amen. With his hand to nudge us, to direct us on the right path. Amen. When we're going through trials that we might understand, amen, the moving hand of God is always there. And we don't maybe see it, but we don't maybe know where it's at. But while we're asking questions, God is working. Amen. God is always working. We can read about his hand in Isaiah 48 and verse 13. It said, "It was my hand that laid the foundations of the earth, my right hand that spread out the heavens above when I called out the stars and they appeared in order." Job would say, "Which of these things doth not know that the hand of the Lord, what the hand of the Lord has done? In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind." In the hand of God. Isaiah 41 and verse 10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Amen. Exodus 15 says, "Your right hand, O Lord, is glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy." Deuteronomy says it like this. He said, "It's because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers that the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand." Amen. You know, you wonder why you're here where you're at. It's because the Lord loves you.
Amen. And his hand has been upon your life. Maybe you haven't seen it. Maybe you don't realize it. But his hand is always there beside you. Amen. Amen. So God knows how to use his hands. And he teaches our hands how to war and our fingers to fight, as the scripture said. You know, I believe if you want to learn something and to learn it real good, you get the best teacher. Amen. One who knows, one who's skilled in what they do or what you're wanting to learn. And God wants to teach you how to war with your hands. Amen. A hand of faith. Amen. Not that we physically are punching somebody, but amen. In the spiritual realm, we got something that can grab a hold of the word of God and not ever let it go. Amen. God wants somebody that'll hold the word and not let it drop to the ground. And no matter if it seems like it's taken forever or years to come to pass, it matters not. Amen. The word is to be fulfilled. Therefore, he needs a hand of faith to hold it there until it is. Amen. I believe in this hour we were given the king's sword. I believe that the message, amen, that's been given us in this day is the sword of not a king, but it's the sword of the greatest king, the king of kings, the Lord of lords. Amen. Amen. Our God and Savior. I think about it. Brother Branham talked about that instant. He said, I was standing there in prayer and something struck my hand and I looked and it was a sword and the handle was made of pearl. It was the prettiest pearl I ever seen. And the guard, I guess it was, you know, to keep your hands from being cut, was made out of gold. And the blade wasn't too long, but it was razor sharp. And it was glistening, amen, silver, as it was just so beautiful. It was the prettiest thing I ever seen. And it fit my hand exactly. And I was holding it. And I said, wow, isn't that pretty? And you know, he said, I'd always been afraid of a sword. He said, I was actually glad I lived out of the days when they used those things. He said, because I was afraid of a knife. And I thought, well, what will I do with that? But while I was holding it in my hand, a voice spoke and said, that is the king's sword. And I thought, wow, that is a king's sword. A king's sword. It might have been that I misunderstood it, but it said the king's sword. So I may not have all of this exactly right as I thought, but there's only one, the king, that's God. And his sword is this, sharper than any two. His word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. And said, I don't understand one word of it, but one of the principles of dueling, talking about dueling, the best I understand is a knife strikes each other and you're fighting. And once those swords lock, amen, if the enemy can lock those swords or you lock with the enemy, the one that can shove the other one down, the sword straight to the heart. He says, though the sword be the word, it takes a hand of strong faith to hold it there and to bring it to the heart of the enemy. I believe this sword was not given to put in a scabbard and talk about and get out every once in a while and talk about how wonderful it is and how beautiful it is. But I believe God gave us a sword in this hour to fight with. Amen. To destroy our enemy that is coming among us and to destroy sickness that is among us and sin that is among us and every kind of thing that would come against the church of the living God. God has not left you powerless. He has not left you empty-handed. He has not left you trying to figure it out on your own, but he sent the king's sword down into the prophet's hand to be given to you so you would know how to fight your battles, so you would know how to overcome your enemy that you will face. And we know the word of God is a sword, and I'm so thankful it's sharp. There ain't a devil it can't cut. There ain't a sickness it can't cut out. There ain't a sin it can't cut away from someone. Amen. There is not a devil it cannot destroy. Amen. But the sword is perfectly dormant if it isn't yielded by a hand or a power. So God give you your hands for a reason. Amen. That hand of faith, it depends how strong it is. This hand of faith might be just strong enough to cut a little hole through the darkness and say, by faith, I'm saved. That's a big cut. But there's more. If that's all the stronger that hand can yield that sword, that's all it can cut out. But if it can put out a little more and make every promise of, it'll make every promise of God shine forth in the power of his resurrection. So if it's held in the right kind of hand, the hand of faith, amen, that'll stand there persistent and hold it against the throat of the enemy, it'll cut out your joy, it'll cut out your peace, it'll cut out your sin, the sin out of your life. It'll cut out sickness out of your life. It'll cut depression out of your life. But it takes a hand of faith. You can't put it back in the scabbard. Amen. This is not the time to walk around with our shiny sword and say, look at my sword. Look how great it is. No, it's time to pull it out. Amen. And put it to the heart of the enemy. But if a strong hand is there to cut plumb through everything the devil can put there. Hallelujah. Make every promise of God shine forth. It's a strong hand of faith. You know, it's the days of miracles. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, it'll cut all the way through. It depends on the power of the hand behind the sword. The sword is plenty sharp. Nothing wrong with the sword. There's nothing wrong with the word. It just needs somebody to believe it. Amen. There's nothing wrong with they shall lay hands upon the sick. They just need somebody that'll apply it to their life. There's nothing wrong with by his stripes we're healed. It just needs some hand of faith that'll hold it there until it puts it to the heart of the enemy. Amen. This word is it cuts both. It's two-edged, so it cuts coming and it cuts going. It'll go to the marrow, the bones, the joints. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's still the discerner. Amen. So the prophet's not here. The word is the discerner still. It's still discerned. How many knows you thought something or talked about something in the very next service? Amen. The word begins to discern exactly what you went through or what you talked about. Why? It's still the discerner. And it knows exactly where you're at. It knows exactly where that cancer is sitting at upon you. It knows exactly where that sin is sitting there. It knows exactly where that thought is. And it can go in and cut it right out. Because it's sharp and it's strong. Nothing wrong with the sword. Amen. The word will cut it there if there's a strong enough arm behind it to push it in and find a place and cut out every promise out and give it to you. If you've just got the strong arm behind it, the sword, pick it up in a hand of faith. Grip it tight. Hold on to it. Walk into the face of the enemy. How can that uncircumcised enemy ever stand in the presence of the eternal God? So you take the sword of the word. Every promise belongs to you. You pick it up with a strong hand of faith. Amen. And you walk forward. If you need healing, cut it out by the word. Amen. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you need salvation, every promise in the Bible is yours. It's laying there, and Satan's trying to hide it behind some darkness, but the sword will cut through the darkness until the light of God shines upon it. 1 Thessalonians would speak about in chapter 5 and verse 21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. This hold fast is implying hold something with your hands, holding, because listen, you don't reach and grab something with your feet. If you do, we got to talk. But anyway, I have seen people be able to grab stuff with their toes. That's some long toes right there. Amen. I've seen people look like their toes is about as long as their fingers, but our hands were to grab things. It was given to us, and every part of it is important. Amen. But it's not just to grab it, it's to hold it. Amen. It isn't just to come on in a service and grab a hold of a promise and go right out the next day and let it go. No, it's to come back the next service with the same promise. Whether it's been fulfilled or not, I'm still holding on. It doesn't matter what the circumstance says or symptoms say or what any devil says or what critics say. I'm still holding on to a promise. If you've been given a promise of your children, you hold on to that promise. Don't let it drop to the ground. If you've been given a promise of your healing, don't let it. And every one of you, if you're sick in the building, you have been given a promise of your healing. Amen. Hold fast. So why would it, to that which is good, why would it tell you that? Because it knew, because the word knows Satan's going to try to come and take it away. So you got to hold fast. Hebrews 4:14, seeing that we have a great high priest, let us hold fast our profession. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful, that promise. So hold on to it. Don't let it go. Well, it hasn't happened yet. Doesn't matter. Well, it's been 20 years. Doesn't matter. Well, our children's been out there a long time. It doesn't matter. I prayed, and the answer hasn't come. Doesn't matter. Amen. It seems like they're getting worse. Doesn't matter. In discernment, Brother Brandon was talking to a lady. Said, lady, you're the patient, aren't you? That's right. This lady wants to get well. I don't know one thing about her. God knows, never seen her in my life knowingly. She's a total stranger to me. I know nothing of her. If there's anything in the world I know, God will have to reveal it to me. I couldn't do one thing about her healing, but because she's already been healed. 1900 years ago, Jesus Christ put it in Calvary that she needs to be put in Calvary what she needs to be healed by. Come on, somebody. The only thing she has to do is accept it, and according to her faith, it'll be to her. If she believes spontaneously right now, great faith over her head, she'll go right now and be healed. If she believes that much, it'll take that much, I'm assuming somewhere around that much, it'll take her a few weeks to get well. If she's down to a mustard seed and she just have that kind of faith, hold it. Because just that, a mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds that there is. It's a small seed. And he said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, hold it. Stay with it. Believe it. Testify it. Confess it. And God will bring it to pass. So you take a hold of God's promises and say, God, you promised to save me. You promised to heal me. You promised to deliver me. You promised me my children. You promised me my joy. You promised me my peace. Hold on to it. Stay right there until it happens. Well, God, you promised me to fill me with the Holy Ghost. Stay right there till you're filled with the Holy Ghost. If you're sick, stay right there. You promised to heal me. I'm staying right here till you heal me. There you are. That's the way to do it. Stay with it. God is infinite. He's unchangeable. He will not change. He does it in an unexpected way, but hold on to it till it comes. Don't tell God what to do or how to do it or how you want him to do it. He will do it the way he wants to do it, in the time he wants to do it in. You know, Jacob was disturbed and perplexed one time and in trouble. And he had done some things to his father-in-law and had to leave real fast. And then he hears about his brother with his army on the other side. And he's in a bad way, and he's troubled all about this. And he said, and Brother Brown was using this, and he said, God always answers, and I've used this before. He said, but many times there's an unexpected place in an unexpected way in an unexpected time. Like Brother Tim said, he knew the hour he was coming, the hour you think not. Sometimes that's when the healing happens. Sometimes that'll be when your child comes home, the hour you think not. Amen. But listen, he met God in an unexpected way. It was in a wrestling match. Yeah, that's a little odd, but it was God, regardless of whether he was in a burning bush or a wrestling match, it was God. The main thing was, Jacob, he had had dreams and visions and so forth, but this was one time he could lay his hand on something, and it was God, and he was able to hold on to it until the blessing came. Come on now, that's what we want. It ain't just good enough. It wouldn't have been just good enough for him to just lay his hands on it. It was the key was to stay there until the blessing came. It ain't just grab a promise and say, that's a good promise. And you pick it up, look at it, put it back on the shelf. No, you hold it until the blessing comes. He said, oh, if we could do that, if we could find a spot where we could see God, whether it's in his word or wherever it is, and recognize this is God, but hold on to it until the blessing comes. Amen. Wrestle it out with God. God promised to do it. God said if we would seek, we would find. Ask and it shall be given. Knock and it will be opened. Every word is true. When Jacob got a hold of something that he could look at and hold to with his hands and seen it was God, he wasn't about to turn that loose. No, sir, he said, if all Christendom could do that, if we could lay your hands and hold of something that's real, catch a vision of God and see his presence and hold on to it until God sends the answer back and the blessing, what a revival would break forth. In your, listen, I'm not, he said, in Tulsa, I'm not even interested in a revival all over this world or even necessarily all over the church. That'd be wonderful. But the main thing is get a revival in you. That's the revival we need broke forth. It's in you, amen. And then we get one or two hearts on fire for God. It'll do more for a church than 40 revivals. But we give up too easy. We quit too easy. We walk out too quick. We allow things to bother us. We allow things to hinder us. We allow things and we just drop it to the side before we've actually received the blessing of it. His word is not just a word. It also has a blessing in it. Amen. No matter what form it comes in, we have our ideas, but God has a way of sending things and answering our prayer. And many times we don't even know it till it's already happened. I talked about it before when I was at Brother Ron Spencer's church and preaching there on actually using a part of this quote on the unexpected way God, the God that answers, excuse me, had an allergy attack just before I come out. But anyway, I was standing there ministering and I went to the front and y'all heard the story about the, it ain't just a story, it was an event actually happened. I mean, it was incredible to me. My iPad went blank and how the voice of the prophet began to play on it. I didn't have an Apple Watch on me at that time. And it began to play and it talked about, amen, the song that Cliburn, yeah, he wrote, Down from His Glory. And here I was talking about, amen, how God was watching the three Hebrew children go into the fire. And I was felt like I was very much about to step into a fire myself. And my mom was at home sick and in the hospital, going in and out of the hospital at that time. Actually would pass away a few months later. And I knew she was in the fire. And I thought, God, in here right at this moment, God, in the unexpected time, in the unexpected place, in the unexpected way, answers. And you know, it was for some time that if I failed to realize that that answer was for me, I thought that was for her. I thought, man, she's healed. It's over with. God's going to come down. He's going to do the miraculous. And we did see the miraculous. We saw God move in many ways. But God would choose to take her on. And I would sit there on that second row one at her memorial. And I'm like, God, why did you take her? I thought you was in the fire. And the voice of God began to deal with my heart. And he said, listen, you're not going to sing this song forever, but I'm going to give you a new song to sing. Because that was not for her. I'm with her. Yes, she's okay, but that was not for her. It was for you. I wanted you to know that I am with you in the fire. You don't know how many times I've went back to that moment when you get in a struggle and you get in depression or you're getting things to realize God is still with me. It doesn't matter what's happening. I'll hold on to that promise. It's time some of you grab a hold of a promise and never let it go. And some of you need to get some bulldog about you and grab a hold of it. I always heard of bulldog faith. I realized one day what that was. I was actually working for Claiborne Electric and I went to read this meter and these guys had some bulldogs and they weren't no joke. Well, they happened to be there, so they said, oh, they're all right. And I was like, yeah, they're all right to you. I'm watching them out the corner of my eye, you know. And he said, let me show you something. And I noticed that at this house, it was the oak tree was trimmed just as pretty. I thought, wow. And then I didn't ask nothing about it, but we were about to leave. So let me show you. And he pulls one down limb down. He calls the dog by name. He said, come here. That dog jumped up there and grabbed that old oak limb. That thing was at least that big around. He grabbed a hold of that thing and he went, and he's hanging off the ground. That limb picked him back up off the ground. He's 5 foot off the ground, but he ain't letting go. and he's a gnawing at it, and he's a chomping at it, and he's a pulling at it, he's a growling at it. He ain't letting go. I stood there at least 30 minutes and watched this dog, amen, snot coming out of his mouth and slobber, but he ain't letting go. He's holding on to it. And about that time when you thought he would have given up, the limb gave up and he broke and he fell off. But that dog was not going to give up until it happened.
That's right.
And I thought, God, if a dog can have that grit about them, how much more should we? You're not here to tear off an oak limb. You're here to tear off a promise, a part of the bread of life. Grab a hold of it and don't let go until it comes to pass. He said, if we can get a hold of a God's representative like that, he said, you can tell the Holy Spirit tonight, as sure as you're immortal spirit of God, you give me a promise in the Bible of my healing, and I'm going to hold on to it till something happens. There would be miracles taking place. The lame would be jumping, running. The doctors would be surprised tomorrow to see their patients healed and well. If we could just take a hold of God's agent then was Elijah. God's agent today is the Holy Spirit. Hold on to it. When you ever come in contact and you feel the Holy Spirit on you, hold on to it. I'll not leave you. Stay with it like Jacob did when he wrestled with the angel. I'm going to hold it till you bless me and give me the things that I am desiring. Oh my. He says, you know, some people have great big faith. They can be healed in a moment. Some has faith that much can be healed in a week. Some have mustard seed faith, takes them a long time. But just follow it. It's genuine. It'll bring you to the light. Just hold on to it and keep moving. It'll bring you out. You got to keep holding on to that faith. It'll bring you through if it's a real mustard seed. You know, mustard don't mix with nothing. It's genuine. He said, how many of you come in here sick now that feels like you're just a little better all along, crippled, afflicted, whatever, but you feel like something has happened? Let's see your hands. What's happened? There you are. You're just a little better. If you're just a little better now, tomorrow you'll be a little better. The next day you'll be a little better. You're going to get well. Hallelujah. Amen. Some people have great faith like this. Anything can happen. Next has faith that's deep. And it takes a little while. Some have faith like a mustard seed. And if it's a mustard seed, genuine faith, hold on to it. Keep believing it. Then that mustard seed will become marble faith. Talking about sizes now. Marble faith will become grapefruit faith. Grapefruit faith will become mountain faith. It'll bring you right out of it if you'll stay with it. Hold on to it. It'll bring you straight to the light. Hallelujah. That's what we need. We need our faith to grow, and you grow it by exercising it. And holding on to it, not letting it go, but let mustard seed then become marble size. Marble size become grapefruit size. Grapefruit size become mountain size. It's accumulation of faith. He says, maybe if your healing's lingered a bit, God's got confidence in you, you'll hold on. Hello, somebody. Maybe if your healing's lingered a little bit, God's got confidence in you that you'll hold on. If you believe that the Holy Spirit, the signs and wonders he promises being done, then accept it and hold on to it. God's requirement, I'm the Lord God who heals all thy diseases. Now, there's only, again, one thing that can hold this sword. You can't hold it with your ears. You can't hold it just in your arm. You can't hold it with your legs or your feet. It is the hand of faith. It's the only thing that can yield the sword. You might have a weak arm, weak arm, and weak hand. Maybe it can only cut through to justification. Some of you have gotten that far. Some to sanctification. But just keep holding it. Keep swinging it. Keep cutting it every service. every day of your life. God, I want to be closer to you today than I was yesterday. How are you going to do that? Cut your way through some devils. Cut your way through some weeds and some thorns and things that are trying to block off the presence of God. That's how you get closer. Amen. Maybe that's all you can cut through, but the sword of the word will cut free every promise. Somebody say every promise. Every promise that's in the word for you, if you'll hold the sword by faith, it'll cut it out of the rock yonder. Every promise of God can be cut free. Well, you know, you might have hindrances tonight. Well, there's been a lot of people with hindrances. You're not the first one. I'm not the first one. Well, I got depression. Well, listen, you're not the first one that's had depression. And you're not the only one that has depression. Hey, well, I'm sick. Well, you're not the first one that ever got sick, or the last one, or the only one that's sick. You know, we get this, I don't know how you say it, but this fatal mentality or some, you know, loser mentality we talked about, and we think we're the only ones that's going through anything. We're the only ones that's having trouble. We're the only one. Listen, we're not. That's what the devil tries to tell you. He wants you to think you're the only one, and you're the only one that's got financial issues, and you're the only one that's ever dealt with any real issues. There ain't nobody else at Evening Light Tabernacle ever been through as hard of stuff as I've been. How do you know? We've all been through things. We've all come through hardships and trials and difficulties of our life. Well, let me just ask, how many has ever been sick? Okay, well, that proves the point. How many has ever had a financial trouble? See, we've all come through those things. We've all had hardships and trials. We are not the only ones. Amen. So, but what is it? It takes the faith. So we're not the only ones that has hindrances. Every person that starts out to go to Jesus Christ or to go closer to him, you're going to come against a lot of hindrances. You're going to come against a lot of trouble. Amen. But listen, if you know, well, that's how you know you're going the right way. Because straight is the gate. Straight is the way, and narrow is the path that leads. But wide is the path that leads to destruction. In other words, there's a lot of room to maneuver going the wrong way. I understand bad people go through things too, but I'm just telling you, when you're having issues and things in your life, a lot of times that means you're going the right way. But it's he that continues. It's he that moves forward. It's he that don't look at the worries around you and the symptoms around you and the situations around you. See, faith doesn't have hindrances. Faith has hairs on its chest. What does that mean, brother? That means faith has grown up, and it knows how to whoop a lot of devils. It ain't suffering with some wimpy male syndrome or whatever. It ain't suffering with none of that. Faith has conquered demons time after time after time. Faith has risen above sickness time after time, time. Faith has risen above depression and anxiety and fear time after time after time. It has plenty of experiences dealing with difficulties. So it's got muscles on it. Faith pulls back his muscles and sticks out the chest and says, "Shut up, devil. Sit down." Reasoning will rise up and say, "Well, you know, it's reasonable to think that." It'll say, "Shut up." And reason will jump over in the corner and take his stool. Faith has got muscles. It means what it says. That's what we need today. That's what the world needs. That's what I need. That's what you need. We ought to be ashamed to admit it, but we need faith to hold to God's word and say it's true and meet the devil and say, "Thus saith the Lord." This is what Jesus did. That's why he showed it to us, how important the word was and faith in the word and what the word said about you. The devil wants to come and twist it and turn it and say, "Well, you know, won't you make stones into bread?" And Jesus would say, "Well, it is also written." And it is also written. And he was going back to the word. He could have used his power and spoke him out of existence. But he didn't do it. Satan still had a part to play. But he showed that his word and faith in his word will overcome every circumstances, even if you're in your weakest moments. How many has ever had weak moments? Okay. Faith finds a source that others can't see. And it's the word. The word of God is sharper. The word of God, the only thing that can hold that word again is the hand of faith. Nothing else can do it. Well, I can do it maybe scientifically or educationally. You can't hold a sword with that. Can't do it by education. It's too twisted, too complicated. Won't make it. It'll try to deny itself. Everything. You can't do it. Jesus said it's hid from you. So forget about it. You cannot know it. It's hid. When God hides, anything is really hid. That's the reason that you're so hid if you're a Christian. But if you're dead and your life is hidden, God through Jesus Christ and sealed by the Holy Ghost, how's the devil ever going to find you? You can't do it. You're hid. God hides you. Amen. What the hiding place, the bosom of Jesus Christ. Now faith holds it. It wields it. And you may not be strong enough, that arm of faith, to cut a hole all the way through it and walk through so like some can. But just keep punching. You might not be able to take one swipe and make your way all the way through it and step in one day and the next day heal. But just keep punching at it. When the enemy comes against you, what are you going to do? Are you going to back down and compromise? Not a real soldier. God's calling real soldiers. He's teaching our hands to war. And he showed us how to war. He showed us when he went to the hill called Mount Calvary. Before that was Gethsemane. And he got down and he began to, his hands were at war. He was at war. His body was at war. Everything was at war. And he's like, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. What was it? That was showing us what a real soldier is. Amen. It's let the mind that was in Christ be in you. What kind of mind did he have? To stay with the word. The word said he had to go to Calvary. The word said he had to take those stripes. The word said he had to take that spear in his side. The word said he had to be hung between heaven and earth. So he was going to stay with the word. And if you stay with it, the Father's word, it'll defeat the devil every time. Amen. When the enemy attacks and tries to say to you, do this and do that, what you gonna do? Stay with the word. Stay with the word. If Eve would have stayed with the word, we wouldn't be where we're at today. Amen. If you'll stay with the word, you won't get in a lot of trouble you get into. Amen. Stay with the word. What do you want to do then? Take the word. What's the word? The Bible. We just read it. For the Spirit of God is the word. Look, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. Amen. The sword of the Spirit. What? The sword that comes into your mind and enters into you, the sword of that Spirit is the word of God. What does the Spirit fight with? What does the Holy Spirit fight with? Sensations? No. You can't fight with sensations. Hello? You can't fight if you only fight. You'll never fight if you only fight when you just felt good like fighting. You would never worship if you only worship when you felt like worshiping. You would never live right if you only lived right when you felt like living right. Amen. It ain't about, you can't fight with sensations or feelings. This is where he tries to come against our young people all the time. It's through the feelings and through that realm of feelings and sensations, and it gets them all stirred up and they begin to question who they are. Listen, it ain't about who you are. It's about who he is and what he's done for you and how he set you free and redeemed you. Listen, he didn't put you here just to put you here on a bench to warm a pew. No, he put you here for a purpose. Spirit of God walks right up to the devil and says, it is written. And the devil gives way. What do we do? Take the sword, which is the word of God, pull it with a hand of faith, a strong hand, the two-edged sword. It's two-edged. It cuts both coming and going. Coming and going. Take the word. Take the spirit. Let the spirit come to your heart. Open up your mind and say, thy word is true. Thy word is true. Lord, I ain't going to pay any attention to how I feel. Thy word is true. I'm not going to pay no attention to what I see. Thy word is true. Come on, somebody. That's when you can really get somewhere with God. As Brother Brown talked about, I brought it up the other day. Amen. If we can just tune our hearts to say, God is God. If you can just tune your hearts tonight to say, thy word is true. Therefore, I'm going to deny my sensation. I'm going to deny my feelings. I'm going to deny all the things somebody said about me and all the nonsense that's going on around me. Thy word is true. I'm blowing out every avenue of my life, all the frustrations and the doubts and the unbeliefs I've ever had, every feeling I've ever had, all the sickness I've ever had, everything else I've ever had. I'm blowing it all out. I'm bypassing. I'm coming right straight to my spirit. Oh, Lord, come down. You said you made me a free agent, free moral agent. You are my son, all right? I open up my heart, my mind. Come in, Lord Jesus. And you grab the faith, the sword of the spirit, the thus saith the Lord, and you scream, hallelujah. And do we got any hallelujahs in the house? You scream hallelujah, and then you cut down every enemy in front of you. In front of you. Don't worry about those that's down the road. You just take care of those in front of you. And if you'll keep taking care of what's in front of you, you'll get to those that are down the road, and you'll take care of them too. Come on, somebody. Listen, we are not a defeated people. We have a strong word. It's a powerful word. It's a word that'll heal the sick. It's a word that'll raise the dead. It's a word that'll heal cancer. It's a word that'll save the lost. It's a word that'll bring your children back. It's a word we can depend upon. And it'll cut coming and it'll cut going. All it needs is a strong hand of faith and say, devil, I'm coming in the name of Jesus. You better get out of my way. Scream hallelujah. Cut that old spooky spirit making you feel that way. Cut it out. Wow. I need a preacher. No, you need to take your hand of faith and grab that promise and cut it out. Sure, I believe in preachers. I believe in laying hands on the sick. I believe in all the scripture says. But I also believe that any mother has the promise in the word to grab that same sword. Any young person has a promise in the word to grab that same sword and cut that devil's head off. Brother Tim's mentioned this maybe not too long ago, but I'll never forget going in with him to pray for Sister Karen Emmons, had cancer in her body. When Dad was talking to her, and he said, well, what do you want me to do? She said, cut his head off. So we all went to prayer. She went in for surgery, and they couldn't even find the cancer. I'd actually get so inspired from that moment, I'd preach on cut his head off. Amen. Why? Because we have been commissioned to do so. Amen. We've been commissioned to cut that old spooky spirit. Yeah, I dealt with him too. I know what he's like. He just gets like this grease all over you. Icky feeling. You know, I've been the kind of guy, I love doing carpenter work and some of that, and doing that kind of stuff, but I've never liked mechanicking. I hate it. Some of y'all want to do it, fine. I got cars sometime, maybe you can work on mine. I don't like it. You know why? Because you get grease all over you. I don't like all grease all over my hands. My son Luke got it. I remember him as a little boy. He didn't even want to put his hands in his first cake. He did it for a minute. He's like, ugh. Got stuff all over his hands. It's not what I like to do. Don't mind grabbing a saw and getting dust all over my head. But I don't want grease all over my hands. And I think about that old icky spirit that wants to come around at night and just put grease all, you know, just grease you all down with bad thoughts and bad feelings. I don't know why I'm going this way. We're going this way. And it wants to put that over you until you can't rest at night. You can't get good sleep at night. But let me tell you, there's a promise in the Bible for rest at night. There's a promise in the Bible for good sleep at night. Amen. That old icky spirit ain't got no right to torment any of the children of the living God. It don't have no right. It don't have a right to come into our children's bedroom and put suicide thoughts in their mind. It don't have a right to come in and tell them they ain't worth nothing and they ought to just take their life. It don't have no right. But there's a sword here that'll cut his head off. Hallelujah. It don't have a right to come to you and to put depression on you and anxiety on you and fear on you. No, sir, there's a sword here that'll cut his head off. It don't have no right to put cancer on you. It don't have no right to put sickness on you. There is a sword. All it needs is a hand of faith to say all things are possible. Get away from me, devil. Whack. Oh, let's let some cutting go on in the house of God. Cut him with the word. Whether it be a demon or your enemy, whether it be sickness, whether it be a disease, pull the sword. And if you whack it the first time and it don't move, whack it again. You whack it the second time and it don't move, whack it again. Oh, glory to God. Sooner or later, you're going to whack a little hole in and light will start shining through. Woo, glory to God. There's some people here tonight that needs to start whacking at that darkness that's trying to come over your life and trying to permeate your being. And that's all you want to think is dark thoughts. That's all you want to be is dark. It's time to take a sword. The sun is up. I don't have to be in darkness. The sun is up. I don't have to be sick. The sun is up. I can be delivered. Whack at it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Get away from me, devil. We are predestinated royal seed of Abraham. When Abraham denied everything that was against God, he chopped his way all the way to the promise. He chopped it out, whacked and whacked until he cut himself through. Where next, Lord? Move your tent here. Went up and built him an altar there. Got up there. Satan comes. So why now? I tell you, this is not the right place. He said, I'll stay right here. Get off my grounds. Hallelujah. Well, Lot said, you better come down here and we're having a better time here. Got the mean preachers up there. We got our good time here. My wife is the head of this thing. Help us, Lord. And Sarah said, Abraham, shut up, Sarah. I'm direct quote. Sometimes you need to refer to the prophet, right? Shut up, Sarah. Hallelujah. Stand right there. This is where God placed me, and this is where I'm going to stand. Even death itself cannot move you. The royal seed of Abraham, England's most selected army in the royalty of England, royal blood, everything. The royal seed of Christ is the Holy Ghost filled church, filled with the Spirit of God. Royal seed by the promise, not by sensations, but by the promise of God. They stand by the word of God and chop their way through screaming, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Even death comes and says, I'm coming out your sleeve. Hallelujah! If that be so, devil, my next step, my next breath is in a new body. What do I have to fear? What am I struggling with? God's got this. Oh, give way, Jordan, I'm crossing over, and you'll cut your way right through to the promised land. But he wants to come and he wants to put things upon you. Weird things, weird feelings. He wants to come in moments of trouble and things are shook up. Put some weird thoughts, mind battles. How many of you have ever had mind battles? Oh yeah, so we're not the only ones that go through them. That devil's like, you're giving away my secrets, man. I just convinced him he's the only one goes through that. How many has ever had the thought that you're not saved, that you're not a son, that you don't belong to God? How many has ever had those thoughts? There you go, devil. We've all had them. What do we have in common? An enemy. Apparently, he's telling us all the same thing. But how many has heard the word that said, I am the Lord God that heals all thy diseases. By his stripes I am healed. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Well, then we got something in common. We got a God who's greater than any enemy. He's greater than any mind battle. He's greater than depression. He's greater than fear. Glory to God. He's greater than any suicide spirit. He's greater than any spirit of darkness. And I say, God, let us grab the sword this evening and cut our way to the light. Come on, why don't you grab the sword, raise up your hand, and shout a hallelujah, and whack that devil. Whack that devil. Say, devil, I'm coming after you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your hands off of God's property. Hallelujah. It takes a hand of faith. Musicians can come. It takes a hand of faith. Is there a hand of faith in the building? 6 months ago, we went and had an MRI for Sister Ruth. Doctor said she's going to have surgery. Just went a few weeks ago and had another one. Doctor just said today she don't need it. Come back in a year and we'll do another MRI. I tell you what's been happening. She'd been whacking at it. She'd get up early in the morning, turn on the tape, and you can hear her in there praising God. And she's whacking, and she's whacking, and she's whacking. I believe she's going to whack until it's all gone. Come on, somebody. Amen. It's time some of you whack enough that you can get enough freedom about you to praise God with all your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Magnify his name. Worship the Lord with all your heart. Whack at it. Don't let that devil stay there tonight. You tell him to go. He don't have to heal. He can't hold you one moment longer. He's held you every night and he's tormented you every night. He can't hold you 1 minute longer. If you'll take the sword of the word and you'll put it to his heart right now, he'll back up in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Satan tries to stop me, turn me aside. Says there's no need to go on, and no need to try. Even if there was a rapture, you'd never make it in. That's when I say to Satan, I'll prove you're a liar again. I'm gonna keep pressing on, oh, pressing on, oh, I'm gonna keep higher call. Oh, I'm pressing on. I'm gonna keep pressing on. Oh, I'm pressing on. Well, I'm gonna keep pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord. Oh, when Satan tries to stop me, turn me aside, says there's no need to go on, no need to try. Even if there was a rapture, you'd never make it in. That's when I say to Satan, I'll prove you're a liar again. I'm gonna keep pressing on. Oh, I'm pressing. Pressing on, oh, pressing.